Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning.
Good morning.
Howard, could you get Blake and anybody in the nursery to come on in with kids? Because it being a snow day. You got it? You got it, Eric? Great. Okay. Well, they come in. I would like to discuss with you angels. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and the angels ministered to him. So my focus with you today will be on angels for just a second. Lent is not about guilt, right? And though we begin our worship with the confessional rite, the penitential rite, and though we will be offering the Decalogue during the course of the season and possibly the Great Litany as we move through Lent, and the story gets dark indeed as we move to Holy Week and Palm Sunday with the Passion narrative, and much of our music would call us to guilt, but actually calls us to responsibility. The Christian life is not a life of innocence. The Christian life is a life of responsibility. Because the opposite of guilt is not innocence, but responsibility. And therefore, we look at the season as an opportunity to be more responsible for our life as Christians. And how are we to do this? One of which is to recognize that we have not been in the path as responsible as we could be. Where do we elevate that part of our life? And that is from the root of responsibility, to respond, to be responsive, to look and find ways in which we can respond as disciples of Christ in our world. You see, when Jesus went out to be tempted in the wilderness, he was not alone. Surely there were forces of evil and wickedness that were attempting to distract and distort his mission and identity. But surely there was the force of the angels and the wild beasts who were with him and ministering to him. Mark doesn't give us much of the details we find out, like in Matthew's gospel. But we know he was not alone. So the question for you and for us is, when you were in the wilderness, who was the angel that came to you? You've had moments of wilderness, to be sure. You know, and remember, as we often say, our understanding of wilderness has changed. Now we look at National Geographic and all those wonderful television shows about nature, and people will say, well, I was wandering in the woods and I found God there, you know. Well, it's lovely, it's nice, you know. But in the time of Jesus, in the time of the Israelites, wilderness was the place where God was absent. Wilderness was a place of threat. And if we're wide-eyed about it, not too romantic about the wilderness, Mother Nature is, in fact, a rather cruel beast where the strongest survive, and where Christian values of sacrifice do not play a role whatsoever in the natural order, largely. So for Jesus in the wilderness, it wasn't a time of, you know, going out and looking at hugging trees. It was being in a place of vulnerability and threat. And the angels ministered to him. So in your place of wilderness, not in a nice campground somewhere, but in a place of struggle and threat, who is the angel for you? Can you name that? So the bigger question, I suppose, is after having named that, is where could you be an angel now? Where exactly in your life? And my answer to that is everywhere. High school, play dates, choir practice. On Route 78, stuck in a traffic jam. Taking a call. Paying bills. So how do you learn how to become an angel? I think it takes practice. It takes practice and it takes insight. It doesn't come to us naturally. Mother Nature comes to us naturally, and that is the strongest survive. And I'm going to take care of my family and myself first. Not a bad thing, mind you, but not exactly being an angel to someone in need who can't pay you back. So it seems to me we need to be trained, we need to be skilled, we need to be focused and thoughtful about it. One of the strategies in Lent we're asking you to do is the examine, you know? Daily examine. If you don't have one yet, you've got a little gift for you. Don't say the church always has their hand out. We're giving you stuff to take with you out of here. So you've got your daily candle for meditation and a guide for how to think about your life and your day. Coming from Ignatius Loyola, a wonderful spiritual master. So one of the ways is to reflect about your life and what has happened in the last 24 hours. Since last year did the exam. Clearly life is busy, you might skip a day, but we are offering, not this Tuesday, but following Tuesday, this Tuesday the Vestry's meeting, but the thought for four Tuesdays we'll be discussing how it is to be an angel, be someone's angel, thoughtful. How to keep your antenna up, how to even have an antenna if you don't have them, how to get your eyes wide open and your ears wide open to listen for an opportunity to be an angelic presence to someone in your life. Because there are people that need you. And that's the point of this, is to become more aware, in tune, and alive to our role. It's really being a disciple. You know. And the next thing about it is angels take themselves lightly. So it ought to be fun. It ought to be delightful. Thinking about our role as angels rather than burdensome.